Hello and welcome to Technology Today. This is your host, Rich Kasmer. On Technology Today, we discuss technology issues of the day and examine how technology is affecting our lives. And as I see every week, it seems to be having a bigger and bigger impact as time marches on. And tonight we're going to talk about some pretty interesting stuff, car technology. We have a guest on the phone with us. We have Rob Callum, who is a freelance journalist familiar with car technology. Hello, Rob. Are you there?
Hey, Rich. How are you?
I'm good. How are you this evening?
I'm well, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
Excellent. Thanks for joining us. And, Rob, I'll give you a chance to introduce yourself so our listeners get to know you a little bit, give you background, and then we can talk some car technology.
Sure. I've been covering technology in terms of consumer electronics since 1986, and I began covering car tech on a regular basis back in 2004 when the first Bluetooth integration started with BMW, adding Bluetooth to cars.
Hmm. Okay, good. All right, so let's jump into it. Let's start, you know, the different categories we'll cover with regards to car technology, but let's start with entertainment. What are some of the newer technologies in cars that are meant to entertain the passengers and the driver, everyone in the car?
Well, what I see as an emerging trend is, and it's been emerging for a few years now, but I think it's gaining steam, is the integration of internet radio and audio apps in automobiles. There was a lot of activity around this at CES in January, the Consumer Electronics Show that just took place last month.
What type of apps are you talking about? What are some of the capabilities?
So we're talking about apps like AHA, Slacker, Pandora. Are you familiar with AHA?
I'm not. I've never heard of it before.
AHA is an app that integrates audio found in found online in the internet, on the internet, as well as apps like Slacker, for example. I believe Slacker is integrated as well. These are smartphone apps that will provide either live streaming audio from the internet or podcasts or internet-based radio stations, and those stations could be actual on-air stations from places like Australia, to as close as home as New Jersey or Pennsylvania, and they will come into the car via your smartphone connected to the audio system in the vehicle. AHA is one of those apps on the smartphone that will accomplish this. Other apps that you're familiar with, I'm guessing, like Pandora, are being integrated as well by automakers.
Mm-hmm.
And so the automakers were there in force at CES showing how they're doing this in partnership with the app developers.
So it's integrated in that it uses the audio system in the car.
Correct.
Yeah,
it connects the audio system. The technology that the automakers are building in connects the app that provides the audio with the audio system, with the speakers in the car. So you're listening through the car stereo to whatever music or other audio source the app is bringing in. There are different ways that this is being accomplished. Some automakers are actually streaming are building the app into the radio in the car directly, not using the smartphone to feed the contents of the app to the system. Others are actually asking that the app be installed on the smartphone by the car owner and then using that to pump the audio into the speakers.
Okay.
But the net effect is the same, which is you're listening to audio being provided by an app as opposed to coming in over the air into your audio system.
So you do have to have a smartphone involved in this equation?
You mostly need to have a smartphone involved in the equation, correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, although, as I said, there are some automakers that are going the route of putting it out in what's called the cloud and connecting the car with a built-in modem directly to their servers, which feed the contents of the app to the radio.
So would you have to have some sort of special connectivity service from them in that case?
You would.
Yeah.
You would. Mm-hmm. Some who are using the smartphone are using it for the actual connectivity. Others are building the connectivity into the car and requiring you to buy a data plan. Mm-hmm. One of those companies that's doing that is Audi. They are providing connectivity directly in the car with a data plan. But they're going the extra step as well of offering Wi-Fi in the car through the same plan. So you can then take an iPad to the back seat and connect to the Internet directly with the iPad, for example, using the Wi-Fi built into the vehicle.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
Along those same lines, you were describing to me briefly when we spoke recently something called 3D audio. What's that all about?
Correct. So 3D audio, to describe it generally, adds a height element to the sound. So you're not simply surrounded front to back by the audio, but the audio can also seem to be hovering above you. If, for example, you're listening, you're watching a movie in the back seat, and it's an action film, and there's a helicopter hovering overhead in the scene, it may sound to you like the helicopter is literally overhead in the car through the addition of 3D audio. Range Rover is offering what it describes as 3D audio in its latest vehicle, I should say Land Rover, which owns Range Rover, is offering it in the 2013 Range Rover.
Mm-hmm.
I have to confess that I have not heard it, so I can't tell you whether it works, but they're describing it that way.
Mm-hmm.
At the Consumer Electronics Show, Audi demonstrated its own concept for 3D audio in a Q7 SUV and may or may not introduce it. They were trying to gauge audience reaction to it at the show. I have not followed up with them to see if they perceive that people were interested in it or not. But it also appears to be an emerging trend. Harman at CES also spoke of 3D audio for cars. Harman is the parent company of Harman Kardon, which provides audio systems to automakers. In the past, that has included Mercedes-Benz and I believe BMW as well.
Wow. Sounds like another interesting improvement there. You were describing the audio apps and the fact that some makers are approaching this a little bit differently. And years ago, not too many years ago, you know, it was useful to have like a CD changer to bring some of your CDs and a bunch of your CDs and play them in the car. Now you've got all of your music or maybe much of it on an iPod or some sort of music player. Are most automakers including some sort of iPod type of connectivity in their vehicles?
Yeah, I can't think of an automaker that doesn't at this point in time. In the past, it was you were able to connect the iPod to the audio system using a dedicated cable. The same sort of cable that was supplied by Apple, for example, to connect the 30-pin port on the bottom of an iPad to your USB port on your computer for charging and syncing with iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
And automakers either gave as standard or more likely as optional the cable hardwired into the vehicle, the cable with the Apple connector on one end and then hardwired into the audio system at the other end in the car. That has evolved to the offering of USB ports directly installed in the vehicle at the factory, so that now you're not limited to the one cable that will connect only to the 30-pin connector on an iPod, which is good because Apple recently replaced that port with a newer one that is much smaller. So if you had that cable hardwired into your vehicle, you're out of luck when you get a new iPod or iPhone. But now USB ports in cars have become much more common, and that gives you the freedom to really connect any sort of smartphone or a digital audio player in the vehicle.
Yeah, that's good to see, since USB was really developed to be a universal standard, and be nice to have that be the case so you're not always having to buy different adapters and connectors, or maybe it won't work at all.
Correct.
Anything else in the entertainment area that you want to cover?
The only thing that I would add is going out on a limb and taking a chance of predicting the future. I think that what may be coming down the road is the video equivalent of the streaming audio and the internet radio apps in the vehicle. I think that somewhere down the road we may see streaming video, Hulu or Netflix, to the back seat, because I believe that DVDs and rear seat entertainment systems based on DVD players will be disappearing as well in the, I think, not too distant future.
Yeah, I keep hearing about the demise of the actual CD, and I suppose that includes the DVD as well, although I'm sure it's going to take many years.
Yeah, and I think the connectivity in the vehicle will evolve, again, not in the not-too-distant future, to 4G, higher-speed data rates, you know, directly to the vehicle. We spoke of the connectivity built in and the need not the ability not to have to connect your smartphone to the car as a modem, but the modem is being built into the car. I think that in the future, in the near future, those modems will be higher speed data modems, which will enable the bringing in of video to the back seat.
Wow. Okay, Rob, let's take a quick break here. You're listening to Technology Today. This is your host, Rich Kazmer. We're here on WDVR 89.7 in Delaware Township, Translator Station W220AG 91.9 in Lawrenceville, and WPNJ 90.5 in Easton, PA. Tonight on Technology Today, we're talking with Rob Callum, a freelance journalist familiar with car technology. We first covered entertainment. Rob, let's turn our attention to safety, automobile safety. What are some advancements that are being included in cars to make the roads safer? One thing I know you were talking about was some safe parking technology.
Yeah, again, at the Consumer Electronics Show, there were demonstrations of cars that literally drive themselves. Audi, again, was one. And they demonstrated a car that's able to find the parking spot at, for example, at a mall, go away after you the scenario is you pull up to the front entrance of the mall and you get out of the car, close the door, go inside. The car will then find the parking spot, drive to it, and park itself in the spot. This wouldn't be parallel parking. This would be a pull-in spot. And then when you're ready, you could summon the car, presumably with an iPhone app or a smartphone app, and it will then pull out of the parking spot and come and get you. And all the while, when it's driving itself to and from the parking spot, it's sensing other cars around it and sensing pedestrians around it so that it doesn't get into an accident or kill or maim someone.
Wow.
And the sensors that are used in the vehicle to enable this are really, they're all out there now for things like lane departure warning, adaptive cruise control, which maintains both a set distance behind the vehicle in front of you as well as the speed. And the latest of these adaptive cruise control systems will take the car, to maintain the distance, will take the car from a highway speed all the way down to a stop, and then start up again to maintain that same speed and distance when traffic starts moving. So the sensors that are out there to enable these sorts of technologies that are available today are being imagined to be used for things like self-parking.
Wow. It sounds so futuristic. I just am amazed that that's this close.
Yeah, it's not that far off. There have also been experiments with things called platooning, which in a similar fashion enables a car, for example, to follow a bus that the car driver has paid a virtual toll, if you will, or fare to the bus driver, and the bus in front speaking to the car in back through a wireless connection can lead the car, which will drive itself, along a route from one place to a specified destination. So you could, for instance, when you're driving from home to work, if you're going to be following the same route as a bus for a portion of that trip, for that portion you could pay your virtual fare, have your car automatically drive itself behind the bus in Pied Piper fashion until you're ready to exit. And at that, you know, while you're in that platooning or Pied Piper mode, you could be sitting in the driver's seat reading the newspaper.
Can you sit in the back seat and watch the streaming movie?
you probably could if your route is the entirety of your route is in Pied Piper fashion. Sure.
Oh, wow.
Not advisable, however.
No, I wouldn't think so until it's very perfected, I guess.
Yeah.
How about you also mentioned vehicle-to-vehicle communication. Is that the same thing as the bus communicating with the car, or is that something different?
Yes, that would be the same as the bus. That would be the bus communicating with the car would be an example of that. Another example of that would be your car approaching an intersection. Let's say it's a four-way intersection, and as you're approaching it from a 90-degree angle, a car, let's say it's a fire truck, may be driving from the other, you'd be going straight, and if you went across the intersection, a fire truck speeding down that road may slam into you, and it'd be a, terrible accident.
Mm-hmm.
The fire truck, using vehicle-to-vehicle communications, could be broadcasting its presence, and your vehicle would hear the warning of the approaching fire truck, and it would stop itself before you reached and crossed that intersection to get T-boned by the fire truck.
Wow.
So that sort of vehicle-to-vehicle communications is not there yet, but has also been demonstrated and is a key aspect to the future safety of vehicles.
Yeah.
There's also vehicle-to-infrastructure communications in which the transportation authorities may communicate about traffic jams mm-hmm. to the vehicle that you're driving so that you don't get stuck in traffic along your route.
Mm.
There is, of course, the ability to avoid traffic now with certain navigation systems that receive real-time traffic information, but this would go a step further.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of navigation systems, I generally just use my smartphone with MapQuest or some other mapping-type app. What are some advantages that GPS devices or systems might have in addition to what you just mentioned, above and beyond doing what I do?
Well, the advantage of a GPS system built into a vehicle as opposed to one on a smartphone or one on a portable brought-in device, dedicated portable navigation system, is that the car navigation system, because it's connected, because it's part of the car, connected to other systems in the car, if it loses a signal to the satellite that is providing traffic information and route information, basically locating you along the route, if it loses that connection to the satellite, then it can still continue because the car knows what direction it's traveling in. The car knows whether you've made a turn. The car knows how fast you've gone and the distance you've gone. And so it can be keeping track of your progress along the route separate from the satellite overhead.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't lose your way and you won't lose your navigation system's ability to continue to guide you with a built-in system, you probably would lose that with the brought-in system if you lost a connection to the satellite above.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Let's turn our attentions to diagnostics. You were also telling me about a device called CAR-MD. What is that all about?
So CAR-MD is a device that plugs into something called the onboard diagnostic port, which is built into every car since, if I recall correctly, 1997. It is a port or a jack that's usually located under the dashboard, beneath and maybe to the left of the steering wheel. And this device plugs into that, talks to the various computers in the vehicle, and determines if there's a problem. And if there is a problem, alerts you to it and tells you what the problem is. And when I say a problem, there's an example. Your check engine light goes on. You're driving down the road, and this light goes on. And you don't know what it is. You don't know if it's something that needs to be taken care of immediately, mm-hmm. or if it's something that can be taken care of later. You can pull off to the side of the road, plug this CAR-MD device into the onboard diagnostic port in the vehicle, and within seconds it will identify the meaning of the check engine light going on and let you know whether it's severe or not. Mm-hmm. You can use the same device, for example, when shopping for a used car. Mm-hmm. So you can find out, for example, whether or not there's a problem that will cause this used car you're thinking of buying to fail inspection, uh-huh. or your own car before inspection time, to discover if there's a problem that may cause a rejection at the inspection site.
And these are relatively inexpensive, too, the CAR-MD, correct?
Correct. I believe the price is about $80, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Yeah.
Well, Rob, we're just out of time, but it seems like cars are slowly becoming more and more computerized and getting more and more technology in them. Anything else that you want to mention?
There's so much more. We could fill another show.
Okay. Rob, if somebody wants to learn more, I guess they could just go and search the internet on your name, Robert Callum, C-A-L-E-M, and maybe include
Correct.
Car
yeah, the,
technology.
The byline is actually Robert E. Callum.
Okay.
And I write for several sites about cars. I write for Edmunds.com. I freelance for Edmunds.
Okay.
I also freelance for Techlicious.com, mm-hmm. Techlicious.
Okay.
And Tech News Daily, all spelled out as one word, TechNewsDaily.com.
Cool. Rob, thanks so much for being on and telling us all about some of the new cool car technology that's either out there or going to be there within the near future.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, Rob. Have a good evening.
Bye.
And this has been Technology Today with your host, Rich Casmer.